This is Doug Miller. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time, this side of eternity, Word of God in hand, and ready to speak into this microphone, knowing and trusting with full assurance that God will bless His Word. Some of you out there need to have your lives changed. All of you need to have your lives polished up for the better. That includes the guy talking to you. And what can do that better than the Word of God spoken in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit? You bring your Bibles, I pray. Come along. Open up to the 19th chapter of Acts. We will begin with verse 1 this morning. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it out there, to as many as we can get it out to, and with all the energy and power that we can put it out there with. And in order to do this, we absolutely must have the prayerful support of God's people. Can't exist and cannot do what we have been called to do without you. Those of you who are saved, you have a direct line through Jesus Christ to God the Father. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. I beg you, I implore you, write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray for us. Because it is the prayers of the Lord's people that give any kind of power or energy or effectiveness to this ministry that we are involved in. We need your prayers and your word-of-mouth support. Tell others about us. Take part and help us in this ministry, I pray. We would always love to hear from you. I say that every week only because it's true. Always nice to get letters, to answer any questions you have, to help you in any way we can. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we have an email address. You can email us if you like to sit at that keyboard. And of course, I'm about as dumb as a log when it comes to anything technological, but many of you are very skillful here. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. Or if you want to call and talk to me, I'll get back to you, within about a day probably. You'll get a recording. Just leave a message. I'll talk to you. Our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. All right. I believe I took care of all the necessary preliminaries. Let's look at chapter 19, verse 1. Here is one of those passages frequently misunderstood, frequently misexegeted, mistaught, and in being mistaught, I mean the individuals who are misteaching this are simply overlooking portions of the Scripture that they shouldn't be overlooking. Now, of course, when I say this is misexegeted, there are probably some of you out there who are saying, all right, Miller, here you go with some more of that arrogance of yours. They're wrong, and now you're going to do it right. Is that what you're telling us? Well, yeah, something like that. Anyone who tells you that you can be a Christian and be saved and yet not have the Holy Spirit, and if they are using this verse here to make their case, they are simply not telling you the truth. And they are themselves mightily and powerfully confused. There is no such thing as a believer not possessing the Holy Spirit. And if you have a problem with that, let me ask you to just turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Hold your place there. Right back in the 8th chapter of Romans, and let me dispel all doubt. In the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 9, here we go with it. Listen carefully. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, is that not clear enough? Is there anything about that that any of you out there couldn't understand? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is dead because, but the Spirit is life, rather, because of righteousness. Now, get it again. Never forget it. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I was in a mission down on Skid Row one time, preaching to a bunch of unfortunate individuals. And as I was talking up on the platform and preaching away, giving out the gospel as best I could, in walked a group of women. There were four or five of them. And they had driven up in this van, which had, you know, verses of scripture painted all over it. And they were going across country, as it turned out, traveling along, giving out gospel tracts. And they were dressed in robes of white and had these kind of peculiar-looking turbans on their head. And they sat down and they listened to me. And after I had gotten through with my message, the woman who, she looked like the oldest woman in the group, the others looked younger than her. She was obviously the leader of this group of women. She came up to me and said, "Let me ask you something. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And I said, I looked at her and I said, "I imagine that what you're asking me is, do I speak in tongues?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, "Oh, well, you haven't received him." And I said, "You are saying that I am not saved." And she said, "No, I'm not saying that." And I said, "You had better be saying that if you understand the scripture at all." And I quoted to her from the 8th chapter of Romans. "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, what you are saying is, if I don't speak in tongues, that I'm not saved. Now, that's interesting, isn't it, in view of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, where he asks this rhetorical question at the end of chapter 12, "Do all speak in tongues?" The obvious answer is no. Now, look, but this woman was making her case based on the first two verses of Acts 19. Let's read them. "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth," that's where we saw him heading there at the end of last week's session, "Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?" This is a mistranslation, friends, pure and simple. The word since ye believed is all one word in the Greek. It's three words in the King James. I don't know what other translations you may have out there that you may be looking at, but this should be translated like this. Having believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And, of course, have ye received is also all one word in the Greek. Received ye Holy Spirit, having believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Now, what are they saying? What they're saying is that they are not saved. They have never been saved, and this is the problem that they have. This is the problem that they have. It's not that they, you know, are not speaking in tongues and so on and so on. The problem is that they are not saved. Now, how do I know that? Because they don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And I know what the 8th chapter of Romans that we just read says. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I want you to remember, if you were listening last week, back in chapter 18, at the end of chapter 18, beginning with verse 24, we dealt with that down through verse 28 of 18 last week, and we saw this man Apollos, another fervent, eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. He could preach and he could teach, and he had it all going for him except for one thing. He didn't know anything but the baptism of John. That's all he knew anything about. Apollos, at that point, he simply was not saved. I can tell you that for sure. Because the baptism, knowing the baptism of John, will not save you. Listen to me carefully, my friends. You can be saved only by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is Paul's gospel, it is not the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus came preaching and that John the Baptist came preaching. I don't care who tells you that Jesus, coming at his first coming to Jerusalem, was proclaiming the same gospel that Paul was proclaiming later on. He was not. It is good news that Jesus and John the Baptist were proclaiming, but the good news was the King is here. He is ready to take power and to take authority and reign and to bring in the kingdom. That's what it was. That was rejected. Paul's gospel, and he makes it very clear that it is the only gospel that can save you. Read the first chapter of Galatians. His gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. It is this good news that saves you when it is believed with the heart and received by the individual. There is no work that is necessary. You are to believe. That's what saves a person. Now, John the Baptist was executed before Jesus ever died. John the Baptist was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, a gospel that said, repent. Repent, Messiah is here, the King is coming right behind me. Repent, he is here to bring in the kingdom. But the Lord Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet gone into death and laid 3 days in the tomb. He had not yet been raised up. He had not yet ascended on high. He had not yet sent forth the Holy Spirit. Not during John the Baptist's time. And that's all Apollos knew until Priscilla and Aquila got a hold of him. And that is all these guys knew. They did not know the gospel of grace that Paul was preaching, that I just gave you, which Paul himself defines. And let me say something more about this. Once again, you can read it in the first chapter of Galatians. Paul says, if anyone, I don't care who it is, brings you any gospel other than the one that I have proclaimed, let him be anathema. Any gospel other than Paul's gospel cannot and will not save you. Once again, these individuals are making it, they make it very clear here. They are not saved. Why have they not received the Holy Spirit? Because they've never been saved. Well, what we got here, Paul in verse 3 here says, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, and here we get the real difference between John and the gospel that Paul was preaching. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. There you are. Is that what you were baptized unto? Well, that's what these guys said. Well, what are you waiting for the one that was coming after John? Well, yeah. Well, who was coming after John? Well, Messiah. Okay, Paul says to them, listen, Messiah came. He has come. And that is on Christ Jesus. That's at the end of verse 4. That's who you are to believe on. And this is it's a whole new ball game. You're not looking forward to Messiah. You're looking back not just to the coming of Messiah, but to his death, burial, and resurrection. It has happened. It has occurred. And salvation is yours for the taking, for the believing. Some of you out there listening to me need to hear this. I don't know how you plan to be in heaven. I don't know what you think will get you there. If you're saying, well, I'll just change my way of life. I'll just start living a good life. Oh, please. Please. You'll drive yourself nuts with that kind of stuff. If you are the least bit honest, you will never lead a good enough life to feel good about yourself. You will always be looking for something more. Why don't you stop that and just do what this Bible tells you to do? You believe the gospel that I just gave you from the heart. You receive Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You proclaim him if thou shalt believe. The good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall proclaim him with your lips and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13. Not talking about you doing something. These guys were not saved. But when they heard, look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they heard this, when Paul gave them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. There were 12 of them. All right? Now, there is much to be said about this passage. I know that some of you out there are saying, you see, they had to be baptized by immersion to be saved. Well, I don't believe that's what we've got going on here. We have got a group of individuals here who almost certainly were Jews. I don't know how else they would have heard about John's baptism if they weren't Jewish, because Gentiles certainly weren't hearing about it. It wasn't Gentiles who were being baptized with John's baptism. These are almost certainly Jews. And, of course, this baptism business, if you have listened to, if you stuck with us through Acts, you will know we went through this back in chapter 2 of Acts. This business of baptism in water in order to be saved, never in the Scriptures anywhere is any Gentile ever told, be baptized, and you will be saved. This is always a Jewish thing. And what about this business of speaking in tongues? Well, once again, if you have paid attention as we've gone through Acts here, then if you have read 1 Corinthians and if you've read Paul's other letters, you know very well that this business of speaking in tongues was very much a Jewish thing. It was very much aimed at the Jews, and it was aimed at them like a gun to show them that the power of God was off the Israel and was now on the church, that there was a change that had taken place here. Now, I don't have time at this point to go through this anymore. I've gone through it at some length before. But believe me, if you think that, okay, you got to believe the gospel, and then you've got to be baptized in water, and then you will inevitably and certainly speak with tongues. Well, Paul contradicts that in 1 Corinthians 12, doesn't he? Paul contradicts that. And you can just figure that Paul would never have said that if you had to speak in tongues. Now, I'm not going to go into this at length here, because as I've already dealt with it at length back in the early part of the book of Acts. But I will just simply say this. Tongues, the tongues that were spoken here, were a clear sign to these individuals, and I think to all of the Jews, that Paul and those who were preaching the gospel and that were out teaching, these are the apostles, and it was through them that the message was being brought of salvation. And there's a sort of a continuity that goes on here with regard to this business of speaking in tongues. It never occurs. Unless at least Jews are there, you can never point out to me one place in this Bible, in this New Testament, where tongues are spoken when Jews are not present. And generally, it is the Jews themselves doing the speaking. And if you say, well, what about Cornelius' household? Don't you see? Yeah, they spoke in tongues, but the people who were there who had preached the gospel to them were Jews. There were Jews all over the place there, and they needed this sign of the speaking in tongues to convince them that the Lord was saving these Gentiles. They needed that. The Jews require a sign. Now, I know that many of you out there, if you really believe speaking in tongues is for this time and this place and we ought to be doing it, I probably haven't said anything that convinced you otherwise. But I hope that I have. I hope that you will see and understand certain things here. First, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. If you have not believed the gospel that Paul proclaimed, you're not saved. If you have believed that gospel, you have been saved, and you have received the Holy Spirit, and you will not necessarily speak in tongues. Now, personally, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone speak in what I would call legitimate biblical tongues. But at any rate, you will not necessarily speak in tongues. And that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.